Thank you, dear Philostrato. Dare I say, you truly have a way with words to charm any crowd. Well done. It's my turn now. As most of you already know, I go by the alias Elissa. Tonight, I share a gothic tale of mystery, sorrow, and romance. It is a curious and gripping piece, a story within a story, delivered in what one might describe as poetic, all about a woman's unusual encounter with a spirit yearning for love. There is no light but the moon to guide me. There are no roads, only the trails I can find between the trees and the cumbersome forest. Directions escape me. So has my sense of time. My feet are sore and aching. My eyelids are like lead, drooping, with my lungs weak and my legs weary. At a short distance off, a wolf howls. Answers her call in the wilderness. Their cries making my bones chill. The cold permeates through the obscurity. Footsteps get quicker and longer as the night gets darker and the clouds cover the lunar beams. Then suddenly, the trees appear to give way, showing me a trail onward, the path becoming wider and wider until I am trampling a gravel road. Worn and overgrown, but still visible, out into a garden, long since abandoned, with monochrome statues of gods and animals, a mist covering their eerie facades. My anxious stride halts as I contemplate what hovers beyond. At the end of the outlandish greenery is a mansion in ruins, a glimpse of ancient splendor. I gasp and feel drawn towards that ghostly building. It is a massive structure of varying stones, with moss clinging all around it. The ominous atmosphere grows even denser with every step as I shuffle my way onward like a sleepwalker. A giant, heavy wooden door obstructs the entrance. Fortunately, it gives way with a long squeak as I push. Behind it, an empty hall. where the echoes appear to go on endlessly. Marble floors abound with cracks and holes, dust and cobwebs in every somber corner. I stop and listen. Was that the wind? Creeping through the towering chimney? Or was it something else? A trick of my mind? My breath hitches, and I take in the cool air. As my eyes try to search around the lurking shadows, they are entranced to a stairway at the far end of the hall. It is built in a dizzying spiral. The peculiar construction hypnotizes me. The stairs take me deeper into the core of this seemingly haunted house. Each step pulling me towards something. A presence I can feel, but not yet comprehend. Count the steps and lose track after 30. At the bottom, there is a narrow corridor with planks torn from walls that lean inwards. It is too late to turn back. I can only go forward from here as the corridor swallows me. A strange light, somewhere in front of me. At its tail, I see another door. This one with steel bars. A door not meant to be opened. But I try to pull at it anyway, and it swings free from its mainframe. Granting me entrance to a small room. More like a stone-clad cell, really. There is a faint glow from the ceiling, coming through minute holes, just out of my range. Tiny space is damp and frigid, but still, that object of mystery prowls here. I feel a shift in the air, a swirling motion, warmness, and ubiquity that slowly materialize. Ethereal haze that turns into thin smoke. I try to grasp it with my hand, but it draws back into the corners, and then approaches again, as if engaging me in a cryptic game. It comes closer still, and then it pauses. A film of dust whirls around. A form gradually takes shape, growing in length by the second. And I swallow hard, for I could scarcely believe what I see. The mystic form resembles a heart that begins to pulsate and rotate. I become bewitched by it, unable to move. I feel an existence within, just inches from me. Some sort of being, or at least a memory of one. As my eyes close slowly, a delicate voice reaches my ears, and sounds that seem to come from nowhere, but still, the words come through, mellow, tempered, and hushed reverberations. They tell me a tale that sinks into me. There was a young man. His name was Promise. He wandered over the land and listened to songs and stories. One day, he came to a garden where he found a young maiden who sat by the benches, sobbing noiselessly. Her name was Sorrow. When he reached out to her, her face lit up and her eyes twinkled like stars. They agreed to meet every day, always in that very spot, and soon exchanged their private vows with flowers. Thereafter, Sorrow became light. Alas, fate was not on their side. Her father and her brothers had already made arrangements in her stead to give her off to a rich and powerful man who was riddled with jealousy and greed. When they found out about Promise, they beat him and bound him in chains, miles away at an undisclosed residence, borrowed from all life and laughter. And light turned back to sorrow, as she wept for a love that could never be. While an impoverished Promise suffered in confinement. many years pass. And he was old, gray, and wrinkled by the time he was released from his prison. He was free to walk once more, to traverse over the land. But by then, sorrow had already perished. Her body last seen at their special place. Plagued with the remembrance of their bond, promise became memory. Clouded with anguish and mourning, he returned to the only other site he knew of, to aimlessly roam its barren holds until time's demise. And thus concludes this tale of woe and misery. The voice falls silent, and understanding unfolds that this place is the very cell where promise was kept, and that he is the presence I feel before me. His spirit has never left, and I feel his yearning as if I had known him all along. A warmth suddenly radiates right through me, and I turn to him as if in a trance. As if gauging his next maneuver. And then, eyes unseen, but still gleaming into mine, a hot breath searches my mouth. With the most tender of lips, craving sweet contact. A tepid embrace envelopes me, as heated kisses wander over my face and my body. A faint yet tangible figure pressing against mine. The voice returns. One that I recognize with fondness. It is he who speaks, and I feel a luscious saccharine rapture, a lover's intimate, enduring connection. Fingers eagerly roam down my torso, touching, stroking, as if they were real, and right then and there, I could not care less if these impressions are physical or mere manipulations of this addled mind. The sensations are just so intense. The ardor and fervor traveling through the cosmos. And I, the target of this harrowing longing. This unfulfilled, torturous ardency. In the twilight, I succumb to my desires, panting and shivering as fire takes hold of my being, means nothing to me anymore. All that is here are the deep, husky vocals resounding all around me, whispering sweet yet perverted words of eternal love, of how it wants to go inside me, to unite with my flesh, to merge into my soul. His passions start to burn within me, delicious tingles running up and down my spine, numbing and enlivening my senses all at once, sending me on a crazed spinning daze. I want more, and more, and more. And we come to that exquisite euphoric peak, where two souls intertwine, where two hearts beat as one. And I listlessly fall to the floor. It feels surprisingly comfortable, in spite of its jagged textures. Ultimately, my vision clears, albeit languidly. My breath a tad abrupt, my knees quivering like jelly. I know I have been possessed. By what or by whom, it is of no importance. All I discern is that my weariness has abated, replaced by a pervading calmness. My strength returns as I straighten myself. I look around me again. Everything is quiet. Not a presence to detect. My feet take me up and out from the cellar. And a realization dawns on me. I had been summoned to this place. But now my quest takes me elsewhere. So I walk out of this old mansion, leaving its dreary walls and ceilings behind me. The first rays of the sun creep over the horizon. The rest of the road still lies ahead of me. And that, my friends, is where my story ends. Who the maiden is or what happens to her is of little relevance. What matters here is the tragedy that prevails most of us in this uncertain time. The isolation we feel from being separated from our loved ones in all things familiar. I could only hope that, unlike the yearning spirit, you are keeping yourselves sound and occupied enough amidst the disquiet and unease. You all have my thoughts and well wishes. Now, my darling Neophilo, it's your turn to spin a tale. I'm curious about what you have in store for us.